Stay a while. Stay forever.
Hello and welcome to News Trash here on the Geek Show, a weekly blast of news. It's either a podcast, a YouTube series, or however you choose to process it. As ever, I am Rob, and I am joined today by the newsreader man, the man of the news, the guy who's got a tab open with all the news on it, Rob.
Am I just made of news or something like that? Just walk down the street shouting at people, news!
Well, you've done worse, I'm assuming.
Do you remember a program called Attention Scum?
No.
I can't remember who the main... It was the first time I saw Johnny Vegas on TV, and it was in a section called, and now the 24-hour news by a man who's been awake for 24 hours, and then just cutting to Johnny Vegas going, it's news, goddammit! That's thrown you completely, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's not relevant to anything whatsoever, or helpful, or... informative or interesting or funny or clever, but it's a thing. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it's a thing. All right, okay.
Well, yeah, another thing. Last year, August the 27th, 2020, we posted a video on Impossible Mission, a series which is part of this network, part of this channel. Find it elsewhere. There'll be a little eye in the top right where you can find it. On that, we did an episode. On that August episode called There's a Games Drought Coming. Yes. A few days ago on gamesindustry.biz, one of the most acknowledged and recognised websites for gaming news that cuts through on the noise and the clutter, had an article that said AAA games basically aren't going to be that regular this year. So effectively what we did it wasn't like a major prediction that we made. It was kind of obvious, but the fact that it took someone as... Yeah. esteemed as the games industry that long to actually face the facts and face truth.
Yeah, we have done a follow-up episode to that Games Drought one, which will be out at some point soon. The thing about that game industry article was, it was called 2021 Could Be a Thin Year for New Games, which is, anybody with eyes could see the writing on the wall last year. But I think everyone kind of buried their head in the sand a little bit and hoped for the best.
Yeah, because we had like 3 months where Final Fantasy came out, Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us, but they were almost done. Once they're done, once the new games had to be started, that's where the problems arose, and that's why we're having this new games drought now.
Well, we've said in the follow-up episode on Impossible Mission, we've gone through some of the other reasons, because it wasn't specific... When we speculated about the games drought, we had very specific reasons why, but those weren't the only reasons that have come to light since that episode. There are other factors involved, which we do go into in that episode of Impossible Mission. So watch that if you want more information. One of the things that kind of highlights just how Spartan this year is going to be for AAA gaming was the latest PlayStation State of Play, which was out only a few days ago.
The internet was the internet and said, no, that was rubbish, there was nothing on it. Where's the AAA games? Boring. It's just indie dumbness.
Yeah, the thing is, the Nintendo Direct that was out, was it last week?
A few weeks back now.
That was also relatively Spartan in terms of, big name titles coming out this year or early next year. It was also quite Spartan. But because Nintendo, they get something of a pass. It only becomes really obvious when you look at Sony and Microsoft, and Sony in particular. On their release slate, they've got Returnal still.
Yeah.
They had this new one from Absolver developer Slowclap called Sifu, which... I'm interested in it, and...
Yeah, because it reminded me of Sleeping Dogs, but without the sort of open world bit, just the pure combat scenarios of Sleeping Dogs, and that's cool to me, and I like the art style, so...
Yeah, the weird thing is, right, when I looked at the trailer, I was thinking, okay, so this is the same character through time, so in a sense, this is a bit like a martial arts version of Fable, where your character ages and progresses throughout the game, and, how he looks depends on what choices you make throughout the game. Maybe it's something like that. I don't know. But I'm just going off what we saw in the trailer. So Sifu and Solar Ash, which was the new Annapurna one by Heart Machine.
Yeah, they've previously shown that before. It was just an update on that one.
Yeah. More Five Nights at Freddy's, so more jump scares, and then
it seems like just, they've actually made it into a game now, Lord, whereas before it was just check the monitor, ooh, bugaboo, jump scare. There's actually a character with a presence in the world now, so they turned it into a real game, a real human boy.
Yeah, you know, look, Pinocchio's become a real boy. Oh, well,
thanks for explaining my reference, Grandad. That really, that's helpful.
My point is that, you know, the whole kind of, look, Johnny, I'm sorry, you know, can we be friends again? Kind of dystopian female voice is very GLaDOS from Portal.
People can be inspired by things. As we mentioned in another episode of Impossible Mission, games copy game.
Exactly, games copy other games. Anyway, aside from that, there was Kena Bridge of Spirits, which...
Graphically, it looks like a Pixar cartoon. It looks stunning. I'm not going to dispute that for a second. But I don't think people are paying attention to the actual gameplay. It looks kind of basic. It looks kind of sort of run-of-the-mill, low-budget, in PlayStation 2 era game, but with the most glorious skin on. And those cute little fellas with big eyes. So it's concerning me. It looks good, but also it doesn't look very good at the same time. So I'm hoping to be wrong on that one.
Yeah. And, you know, we saw more gameplay footage for Deathloop. We got a look at Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate.
The Deathloop thing is just like, wow, this is a me game. I'm in for this.
Yeah, but you've been saying that since the first trailer of it. The Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate is just basically the PlayStation 5 version of Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah, but they put a title on it.
It's got shinier graphics, faster loading times, an extra chapter.
With Yuffie.
So, yeah. Fine, there's more for the PlayStation 5 version. Great.
There's other. It's also been given away on PlayStation Plus, which I'm kind of happy about because I was wanting to play that, but I wasn't willing to pay a great deal of money for it. Other bits of PlayStation news, though. Gran Turismo 7's been delayed till 2022.
Yep.
And they've officially confirmed a PSVR 2, even though it was almost sort of common knowledge that they were going to do another one. Jim Ryan has outright said, yeah, there's going to be another one, and it's just going to be one cable job.
Which is going to be interesting because how you're going to transmit that much information in one cable is, they know what they're doing. I'm not doubting that. It's just my take on things. I look more at the science aspect, the tech aspect of things. You know this. So for me, looking at the technology aspect of it, the engineering aspect, how they've actually managed to get this much information and pack it down so it can be transmitted into, you know, via just a single cable. To me, that's fascinating.
Yeah, but they've done it with other VR sets. So the PSVR, the original one, was kind of old as soon as it was released. Kind of much like last generation of consoles, really. But the thing about this is kind of like the trend of things to come for 2021, I think. You're going to have to make do with a few titles, which I've said before and I'll say it again. People got a bit too used to being spoiled by there being so many video games.
Yeah.
So the second that they don't have that, they jump down the throat of the video game industry, or certain publishers, or certain developers, or platform holders, and accuse them of being awful. But there's kind of a big elephant in the room right now.
Yeah, but the thing is, that goes to show just how spoiled a lot of the gaming community is. And I, you know, I know that's going to upset people, but I will say it, and, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you can either accept it and move on, or you can argue with me, but, you know, you'll probably lose because most people will call you spoiled if you're spitting your dummy out because you don't, you know, so-and-so game is not coming out. There are bigger problems in the world right now.
Yeah, if you've seen some of the reactions when they said they were going to delay stuff. They didn't care that there was a pandemic on. They just wanted their games, and they wanted their games now.
Yeah, first world problems.
Yeah, and 2021 is going to be maybe even 2022, it's going to be just a slow pace of release. So
Yeah.
That's fine, though.
I think during this time, the gaming community in general needs to just take a good, long, hard look at itself and grow the hell up.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's why I said it's the gaming community in general just needs to take a long, hard look at itself.
The businesses, the consumers, and the press.
Yeah.
Everyone just needs to just take a step back and stop and just say, what the hell am I doing? One of the worst things for the games community has been the advent of the internet. I will be honest, it's been one of the best things and one of the worst things. And
wow, okay, so that, instead of segueing into an Impossible Mission episode, let's jump onto the next news story, shall we?
Yes. Weirdly enough, it kind of does tie in with what I've just been saying. It's been one of the best things and one of the worst things is the advent of the internet. It's more of a follow-up, more of a mention and a follow-up. Remember we were talking about how, the ongoing Epic versus Apple case?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, and remember we talked about how Apple was trying to pull Valve into this whole thing, even though Valve were going, hey, we don't make mobile games, we deal mainly with PC, why are you pulling us into this?
Yeah.
Well, a California magistrate, has decided that Valve has to provide sales and pricing data to Apple for 463 games, but only for the last 4 years instead of six. And kind of in a sop to Valve, the judge has said Apple has salted the earth with subpoenas, so don't worry, it's not just you. Which is kind of a bad thing as far as I'm concerned, because it opens the door to Apple pulling potentially anyone who retails games in general online.
This is a byproduct of the arrogance of Apple being a monopoly.
Yeah, which Epic is trying to break, but, you know.
Android have done fine because that's not a monopoly. Many people can develop or do whatever within that. There's not just one app store, there's multiple app stores. Huawei have exactly. One, Samsung have one, as well as the Google Play Store. Whereas with Apple, everything is through Apple. There's nobody else making phones with the Apple software. It's all Apple. The App Store is just Apple's. It's 100% all of them, and it's given them an inflated ego. And it's almost like they're used to getting all of the money, so anything that stops them getting all of the money, they basically become like a petulant, dirty capitalist.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically what's happening in Epic versus Apple at the moment. Valve have been pulled in. And they're not too happy about it, obviously. I'm not saying that Valve are, Valve have a completely clean nose when it comes to business practices, but still, they're a complete third party in this whole situation. So Sony have decided to shut down Japan studio development. The vast majority of dev staff at the studio are apparently being let go. But now there are conflicting reports on whether there is the vast majority of staff are being let go or not, because a number of staff from from localization, IP management, and external production are being moved into other teams, including a Sobi team that works on Astrobot.
Yeah,
and so they're being moved across, kind of sideways, laterally, into a different team. But when it comes to the actual programmers, the designers, that sort of thing, I'm not sure how many of them are being kept on board. Like I said, there are conflicting reports about, how many staff are actually being retained and how many are being let go.
The reassessing team Sony and Team Japan, sorry. So there's people who've been moved to Team Asobi to work on that and make more of a go of turning Astrobot into a regular franchise rather than just we've got a new bit of tech, so let's throw a Astrobot game at it.
Yeah.
So there's that aspect to it. And the other aspect of it is a lot of reports have suggested that they're moving staff around. That's business language for setting up a few new companies or laying off.
Yeah.
If to set up new companies, good. But honestly, yeah. I think there's been a lot of hyperbole around this, and Team Japan haven't really been all that productive for a long time. We're talking sort of 2014, 15 was when they were really releasing last games of any sort of productivity last.
yeah, their heyday was like PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3 era. And yeah, okay, they worked on Ape Escape and various other games like that. But I think they kind of got relegated to the sidelines after the debacle that was Knack.
Yeah.
And after Knack, I mean, they even had a sequel to Knack, which was...
Yeah, people do love Knack, but it is effectively a poison chalice.
Yeah. But I didn't see Japan Studio getting many prime gigs after that. And mainly it was supporting the development of other teams and other developers. That was it.
Yeah, like Demon's Souls that worked with whoever it was who made that. This has been read like it's a sign of Japan, the studio, Sony abandoning Japan. There's a degree of that. Sony are becoming a much more Americanized... Well, globalized company, but globalization is essentially turn everything American. American or Chinese, they're the two sort of extremes of globalization. And because, we've seen the games that Sony are putting out, so it's obviously the American end of that. But there's still lots of Japanese stuff. I mean, admittedly, the Japanese industry, laying the blame on Sony and Japan and all this is kind of very short-sighted. The Japanese video game industry has been in a massive, massive state of decline for the past decade. Most of it, like anime or anime-styled RPGs or fighting games and a few little bits.
Yeah, but... The thing is, how much of that, right? I'm very, very, very familiar with the Japanese video game scene. And a lot of that... And the thing is, I question the common Western take on the decline of the Japanese industry, because one of my prominent questions has always been, if Sony hadn't messed up with the PlayStation Vita, if they hadn't seriously just... I don't know what kind of a short-sighted decision that was, and whoever made that decision really shouldn't work for Sony anymore, because you basically destroyed an entire handheld, the entire future of the handheld, you know, for Sony, by deciding on a proprietary memory card. That was it. That was the only thing stopping people buying the Vita.
The Japanese industry isn't what it used to be, because now it's mostly handheld and mobile-based.
Yeah, but the problem is, Sony doesn't have any market share in that because of the Vita.
No.
Because they basically failed with the Vita, and they said, okay, we're pulling out of handheld entirely. Even though the Vita, compared to every other handheld machine at the time, including the 3DS, the Vita was a beast. It was a monster of a machine. The power of a PlayStation 3 in the palm of your hand.
Yeah. The Japanese industry's been in a state of decline, and Sony Japan, Team Japan, whatever you want to call it, that's kind of one of the last holdouts, really. Besides this, all you've really got is a few studios who make the big profile RPGs. Atlus, few others here and there.
Yeah, I mean, the problem... See, this is the thing. Team Japan, our Japan studio, made some really interesting puzzle games for the PlayStation Portable, right? Locoroco, Patapon, games like that. Really interestingly, really quirky puzzle games that you won't see now, and you probably won't see them outside of, say, a smartphone, you know, iPhone or you know, the App Store or the Play Store, or somewhere like that. That's the only place you'll find these quirky, smart, really cute puzzle games. That's it. You won't find them on any handheld console now, especially not a Sony platform, because looking at Astrobot is your prototypical mascot character. Sackboy, Mario, you know, Link, whatever you want to call it. That's what Sony's aiming for. And it plays into what you said about globalization.
When an industry becomes so big, it becomes safer. And when things become safer, things tend to get made for wider audiences and reduce the risk of losing money. It's happened with movies, it's happened with music, it's happened with probably other industries that I'm not as au fait with, but it just happens.
Yeah.
It's just the state of things, really, and that's why independent games become much more popular. But again, we've talked about that ad nauseum on the Impossible Mission show. Just to hear, I'll just mention, we have a Patreon, so check that out. just to pick up mood a bit, because it's got a bit bleak there, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/thegeekshow or thegeekshow.co.uk for all of our social links and getting talk of us there. But yeah, it kind of got a bit down there.
It got a bit down, but that's only because, I would love for a handheld that could rival something like the Switch, something that was not as Nintendo-centric. I'd love to be able to play. I'd love for a handheld that could rival it, and Sony had the opportunity and wasted it.
Yeah, people are talking about how everybody's doing their own thing. I mean, Sony and Microsoft, they operate in different ways. Microsoft is all about the Games Pass game. PlayStation is all about the handheld games. But they're in the same sort of marketplace. Nintendo are kind of...
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, without competition, really.
Microsoft's streaming service could rival the Switch.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to... there was a time when banning video games was the in thing amongst politicians, but not for a while now has that happened, until recently when a Chicago area politician called Marcus C. Evans Jr. has decided to blame Rockstar's Grand Theft Auto franchise for the increase in carjackings around Chicago.
Blaming Grand Theft Auto 6 in particular. I think it turns 8 years old in September.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people are puzzled by this particular effort to ban Grand Theft Auto. It's a bit late to the party, isn't it?
I mean, it's always been the issue, isn't it? I mean, video games can be bad. They have bad aspects to it. But at the same time, it's kind of like, I need a scapegoat. What's a scapegoat? What industry doesn't have anybody to speak up for it? In the mainstream, accepted way. Movies do, can't attack them. Music does, can't attack them. And nobody knows anybody who's famous for video games. Let's just wail on them. They're the problem. That's the issue. Their problem. That's why all the gun crime in America is an issue. Video games. Not anything else. Video games. White cars being sold. Video games. Stolen. Video games. All video games. Easy. Easy target.
See, according to Representative Evans, Grand Theft Auto and other violent video games are getting in the minds of our young people and perpetuating the normalcy of carjacking. Carjacking is not normal and carjacking must stop. According to an ESA rep, though, while our industry understands and shares the concerns about what has been happening in Chicago, there is simply no evidence of a link between interactive entertainment and real-world violence. We believe the solution to this complex problem resides in examining thoroughly the actual factors that drive such behaviours, rather than erroneously ascribing blame to video games based solely upon speculation, which is pretty true. I mean, there's the elephant in the room is kind of global pandemic, leading to loss of jobs and loss of income and GDP down in every country. Economies tanking the world over. So yes, people are getting more and more desperate, which could result in people attacking each other and robbing each other more often, which has nothing to do with video games.
It's an easy scapegoat for people who are trying to make some cheap political power out of it.
Yeah, but that's the point, though. In a situation where you have a global pandemic, when all of the news has already said, look, things are getting bad, people are committing crimes against each other more. This has been like a news thing for the last year all over the world. And in that situation, the best a politician could come up with, even after watching news articles that say, look, people are robbing each other more, people are carjacking each other more. Even with all of that information, the best they could come up with was blame Grand Theft Auto. Instead of saying, how can we help these people so they don't have to rob each other?
Well, it's part of the... I'll just say this comment, and I don't want it to be sort of built on upon anymore, because it's kind of serious and dark, so... But it's kind of par for the course of the gaslighting means that modern politics is going for. Don't accept a responsibility for an issue you caused. Blame it on somebody else who can't defend themselves. It's happened before in the past. I think, what was it, Jack Trenton? He tried to make his name out of that, and now he's completely irrelevant. There was lots of people who did that, but now it's, it's just a desperate grab of power for power by an idiot.
at least when they had, decided to put age ratings on video games, with games like Mortal Kombat and Night Trap and stuff like that, at least they had some semblance of... they weren't trying to ban them outright. They were just saying, look, we need age ratings on them.
Yeah, which is was the right thing to do.
Yeah. So, anyway, moving on to a bit of a strange story, this one, right? See, you know how everybody is trying to get in on the whole, let's make a video game adaptation, let's make it good, let's make it popular, you know? You've got various adaptations of Tomb Raider, for example. You've got the Alicia Vikander one, and then you've got the Angelina Jolie ones, which, you know, I'll leave it to the fans to decide which one is the better version.
Alicia Vikander, there's no question. I didn't even let you finish that sentence. It's Alicia Vikander, absolutely. There's no debate.
I'm not getting into that argument. There are people who like the Angelina Jolie ones. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not one of them. Anyway, it's recently come to light. Well, two particular things have recently come to light. Number one is that, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who are the writers behind Zombieland and the Deadpool films, are working on a live-action TV series for Twisted Metal.
Ooh, relevant.
See, this is the thing. It's Twisted Metal, a 1970s exploitation racing game where the main character was a clown called Sweet Tooth who drove an ice cream van.
But I'm all for it. Because the other things that are getting made, Uncharted...
Weirdly enough, the weird thing is, just in the background...
Yeah, it's been happening throughout the show. Like, I don't know how much it's come through on Mike, but yeah, there's an ice cream van. I'm not going to try and edit it out because it's just the irony is too delicious.
Exactly.
The Last of Us, I don't really care, even though Pedro Pascal's going to be in it, and I love that guy. It's just basically another apocalypse surviving scenario. It'll be bleak, it'll be decent if it follows the story, but I don't care. It's just another zombie survival thing. I really don't care. Uncharted is just basically Indiana Jones, but not. Well, Indiana Jones without the hat. There we go. Whereas Twisted Metal is an old-fashioned 1970s car exploitation thing with an incredibly iconic-looking character, which is basically like The Purge with cars, and I'm all for that because they can be really creative and take some liberties with the source text rather than... If you do that with The Last of Us or Uncharted, they'll say, but that's not what happened in the games, that's not part of the canon, why did you do that? He doesn't do that, he doesn't behave like that. There'll be so many questions. Whereas with Twisted Metal, it's a clown in a car, and cars go bush, bush, and bang, bang, and do things.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you look at a film like Death Race, right, the original Death Race 2000, it's a race that you go around killing people as part of the race, and gaining points and stuff like that. I mean, it's a film that has a hand grenade where the grenade is a literal hand. That's how on the nose Death Race 2000 is, and Twisted Metal is that.
Carsploitation, 70s style carsploitation.
Yeah.
Mad Max is part of that tradition as well, so yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I don't care what anyone says. This is my kind of TV right there.
It's not big, it's not clever, but it doesn't pretend to be.
No, I mean, and you got the writers for Zombieland and Deadpool working on it, so I think you got the right people working on it.
I think maybe they'll need to amend the sense of humour to be a little less self-effacing and a little more chaotic, I think, would work for that. But
well, I mean, Jonathan Smith is also working on it, and he's the writer and producer of Cobra Kai. So he's... Basically, Cobra Kai is that one that recently took off. It's the follow-up, the sequel to The Karate Kid. Yeah, it's the sequel to The Karate Kid. It's like...
I know it's acclaimed, but I really hate Karate Kid.
Yeah, okay, you hate Karate Kid. I've got a soft spot for Karate Kid because it was actual karate in the Karate Kid movies, whereas the Jackie Chan one had nothing to do with karate.
That Karen kick is utterly BS, but let's move on.
Yeah, okay. It was made... It's an 80s movie, okay? There was a lot of BS in 80s action movies. I watched most of them, trust me. I know.
There's a segue story here as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, because the thing is, Weirdly enough, even you and I are both actually looking forward to Twisted Metal as a TV series. On the flip side, Tom Holland is apparently not very thrilled with his performance in the Uncharted movie, according to a new interview he's given with GQ.
Yeah.
And he said that the film was sometimes less about landing a mark and go through this scene, and more about landing a mark, stand like this and see my bulging biceps. According to Tom Holland in this interview, it was a mistake and is something that I will probably never do again.
Now let's just process that a moment. When an actor comes out in an interview before the movie has been finished, before it had press screenings, before it's even got a release date, and said, I kind of hated it, it's going to turn out terrible. That's essentially what he's saying. That doesn't happen very often. I can't remember the last time that happened. This is not a good omen for the Uncharted movie at all.
I mean, this is the thing. There's more juicy bits from this interview. According to GQ, it was an experiment in vanity that left an odd taste in Tom Holland's mouth. Holland goes on to say, as soon as you start worrying about, do I look good in this shot, acting becomes something other than playing a character. I think there are elements of my performance in Uncharted where I kind of fell under that spell of being, I want to look good now. I want this to be my cool moment. I had to play this very tough, very stoic guy, basically be Mark Wahlberg. My character is supposed to be a effing action hero in this moment.
Yeah, this is a guy who improvised one of the most heartbreaking lines in the Avengers movies. And for him, he values the character and what the characters do and his performance. And for him to come out and basically, he's essentially saying this is garbage.
Well, not necessarily. He's not saying that the Uncharted movie is bad, or that appearing in the film was a mistake. Just clarifying, okay, so we don't get in trouble.
Read between the lines, he is...
Yeah, I know, I know, but for legal reasons, I have to make this statement. Tom Holland isn't saying the Uncharted movie is particularly bad, or that appearing in the movie was a mistake. What he's saying, it seems, is that the way he played the role, in part, was a mistake.
And the way he played the role was from the direction of the director.
Yes.
He did what he was told. So, in a way...
Stand there, look like this, bulge those muscles. Bulge them!
Don't be acting in my movie. Pause, damn it. Pause. This is not going to turn out well.
Can you imagine if the director just kept shouting him to do random catalogue poses, like, point over there. You know those catalogue poses where you just see the model going...
Yeah, it's going to be a catalogue full of sort of survival wear.
Yeah, and just Tom Holland flexing.
This is not going to be a good movie. It doesn't take much to read between the lines. This is going to be a bad movie.
Bring on Twisted Metal.
This is going to be Tomb Raider 2 level of bad movie.
Oh, can you imagine, though, if they basically said, right, okay, Tom Holland has done Uncharted, now we want him for the Twisted Metal TV series, and he's just brilliant in that.
There'll be more credibility to it.
Final story. We're probably going to talk more about this in a future episode of Impossible Mission. But for now, the new Dragon Age game, right? The new Dragon Age game, according to recent reports, developer BioWare's highly anticipated new game is now strictly a single-player experience. EA have reversed, they've completely gone back on their idea of it being a live service game because of the success of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order and the failure, complete abject failure, of Anthem.
Good, because I'm not a big fan of Dragon Age, but as far as from the outside in, it was a single-player narrative RPG which was all about story and character.
Yeah, and this is the thing, right? As a massive Dragon Age fan, which you know I am, right? I love Dragon Age, and I think Dragon Age 2 was a brilliant game, right? I think a lot of people dissed it because it basically ditched the entire open world thing for the city of Kirkwall, which I think was a brilliant move because it really focused the story down on particular characters, you know? I think that Dragon Age in general, it's the kind of story that I want to play where you basically have a clear demarcation between light and dark, between villains and heroes, between, you know, good and evil. You are playing the good side. You know, you're not playing the evil side. There are no, you know, shades of grey here. It's very much, you know, one or the other. And you're basically firmly in the camp of the good, which is fine. Because at the end of the day, you know, I have enough shades of grey in my life normally, so I play video games for escapism. I want to be the hero every now and then, you know. I don't want to be this morally ambivalent character that I usually am in real life.
Yeah, but it's the distancing themselves from a live service game like Anthem, which yeah. just goes to show that Anthem and Marvel's Avengers, along with it, are two of the most influential games of the past 5 years, of the past generation.
Yeah, because of how not to do it.
Anthem was basically Iron Man game, and they cocked it up on every conceivable level. And Avengers is one of the most profitable IPs in any aspect of culture. I think there's about 4 or 5 of them have made more than $1 billion at the box office. The last Avengers movie made over $2 billion, and they're still lost money on this game.
Can I just point out, right, the best, oh, right, on the PlayStation 2, during the PlayStation 2 era, the best superhero games were X-Men Legends and Marvel Ultimate Alliance, yeah? And then, after that, PlayStation 3 era onwards, the best Marvel superhero games, or the best superhero games in general, were Lego games.
Lego Marvel Super Heroes was amazing.
How is it possible for a AAA developer, a AAA publisher, to basically say, not look back through the history of games and say, you know, what is it these two particular games that are so beloved among superhero gaming fans, these two games, what did they do? They offered a lot of characters, very simple controls, very simple upgrade abilities, and they basically had a very strong narrative thread running through, yeah? And that's all we need to do.
Yeah. It's pure, in the case of Anthem and Marvel's, well, Marvel's Avengers, what it is a pure case of publisher greed, which blew up in the face. And yeah. It's kind of blown up this whole idea of everybody having a go of, because for EA to back down from something, that's a big thing. EA don't back down from anything. EA are avarice embodied. So for them to back down from something, it's kind of like a nail in the coffin for the idea that anybody should have a go at a live service. It should only be when the situation demands it, when a game needs to be live service. Give it a go.
Yeah, EA are basically Mr. Creosote. They're the Mr. Creosote of video games when you get right down to it. They will not refuse shoving anything in their mouth.
Well, they are Cyril Sneer. They are Mr. Burns. They are Mom from Futurama.
Yeah.
They just want money. All of the money. They don't care about human cost.
Exactly. They will hoover up all of the money, and that's why I said Mr. Creosote. They won't say no.
Yeah. And the fact that they've said no to making something a live service, that's kind of a bullet in the head of the idea that everything, well, any publisher has like a good live service game in them.
Yeah, and they don't, because at the end of the day, something like Destiny had to wait for a while before it became good.
It was the second game where it actually became worth it.
Yeah, and the thing is, even with the second game, it still had to wait for a while before it actually became a prominent game that people would go back and play regularly. It's the same with all of the other live service games. They don't take off immediately. Fortnite's a live service game, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's got the... Typically, live service games are free and they're riddled with microtransactions and seasons and costumes and DLC packs. And yeah, so Fortnite is one.
See, think about when Fortnite started, because we reviewed Fortnite when it started. Long, 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 long time ago now. And what it was basically run around, build a fort, shoot people. That was it. It was none of the hype surrounding Fortnite as it is now. Back when it first started, not a lot of people were playing it because there were other games like it already. Nobody knew it was going to become this mammoth IP that was recognized globally, had all sorts of competitions and all sorts of, you know, media tie-ins and stuff like that. Back when it started, and that's the thing. Back when it first started, nobody knew it was going to be this big. Nobody knew it.
But yeah, that's kind of a good point to end on. You know, Anthem and Avengers are the most influential games outside of Fortnite over the past 5-6 years.
Crazy, isn't it?
but for all of the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Well, I mean, another influential game of the last 5-6 years, I would have to throw in there, is Lego Dimensions.
Yeah, as a failure to that whole, have a game, get a doodad, put a doodad in a game, the doodad's running around.
Because Lego had, like, every single IP tied into it and still failed catastrophically.
I don't know how, I think that might have been a bit longer ago, but yeah, it is still very influential, that one. For the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So, that's it for this week's edition of News Trash. Lots of stories we talked about. Lots of contentious talking points. So if you want to get in touch with us, comment below or get in touch with us on social media and comment about how my hair is going to become really wacky by the time barbers are open again. Comment about that, because I'd like to talk about that. I'd like to get that off my chest. But yeah, that's it for this week. Please subscribe. Please like. Please get in touch. I've been Rob. He's been Rob. And thank you for watching.
Bye.